Well, again, good morning. The title of this message this morning is entitled To Infinity and Beyond. As you know, that we have been going through this series together about days of hope, knowing what it means to be people of hope. We've had a variety of different experiences. Last Sunday was taking it to the streets. Our worship last week was to go out in our community and pray over our city. Those of you who came and participated and went out and returned were blessed. Amen. God moved. God touched lives. It was a sweet time. We prayed over the city. We prayed over City Hall, the police station, all the fire stations, 46 school locations or 43 school locations. I don't remember whatever the number is. That's high schools, junior highs, middle schools, elementary schools. We prayed over many streets. We prayed over parks. We prayed over the hospitals. And as I mentioned in my newsletter this week, as you were praying, then Dawn and I went to north and west boundaries of the city, and Bob and Karen went to south and east, and we were praying over you as you were praying over them, and God moved in a powerful way. And today is to realize that our mission field is not only here, but it is beyond. It is the world. The world is here, by the way, and the world is out there. Again, let me remind you, this verse will not be on your screen. Psalm 67. You listen as I read. If you do not have time to run to that reference, it's verses 1 through 4. You listen. God, be gracious to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known on the earth, thy salvation among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Let the nations be glad. Sing for joy, for that will judge the people with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. The scripture tells us, God tells us that we are called to take the gospel to the nations and to do that corporately and personally and to join God in what he's doing. You notice in that verse of scripture says that thy way may be known on the earth. When Jesus came and lived his life, before people were known as Christian, they were known as people of the way. You realize that? You can look that up in the book of Acts. They were known as the people of the way. Where would they get that? Well, Jesus said, I am the way. So if you follow my way, they became people of the way. This is what my conviction is. You're either on God's way or in God's way. And it's a dangerous place to be in God's way. So it's our calling as individual and as a church to be on the way with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, taking the gospel to the nations and to do that locally as well as around this world. I'm going to be sharing and then calling people up as I do so, trying to do this chronologically, telling a brief little history of our relationship with the various folks that God has blessed us to have a relationship with through these years. But let me remind you as well, the world is either saved or lost, and that ought to bother us. It ought to affect us at some level. Listen to this story. An eyewitness once told the chilling story of his life as a boy in Nazi Germany during the period of the Holocaust. The church his family attended sat along a train track that served as a main line for the mass transportation of Jews to the death camps. Each Sunday, as the train passed by during their worship services, parishioners, you can imagine in those days, they didn't have air conditioning. You remember those days, don't you? You had a church, the windows were open. Each Sunday as the train passed by, parishioners could hear the screams and the cries for mercy coming from the train cars going past the church. That disturbed the church. It bothered them to hear the cries of those that were on their way to the death camps. So you know what they did? To try to salve their conscience and to silence the cries of those passing by, they decided the best way that they could resolve that would simply be to sing louder, to drown out the voices of those in need. The world is on a track to eternal destiny. Worship that's louder to silence them is not pleasing to God, if you were wondering. The world is coming to us. The world, the nations that we're going to be reaching live here. There's over, as I mentioned about India having 1,652 dialects, we've got it easy here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. There's only about 200 dialects here. Only about 200 language groups. 40% of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex speaks a different language other than English in their home. 30 years ago, 1% of the Metroplex, 1% was born outside of the United States. 30 years ago. In 30 years, 24%, one-fourth of the population of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex was born in another nation. If you count the kids in that, 40% of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex in 30 years is now born outside of the United States. We are a global community. A global and local community. We've been going that direction for a long time. I would suggest if you had time, I'm not going to encourage you to do that, but if you were to lean forward to the person sitting in front of you and grab a hold of her collar, and hopefully it wouldn't be buttoned down like mine, but and pull back their shirt where you could see maybe where it was made. I would suggest so much of our clothing in this room was not made in the United States. We are a global and local community of believers. And God has given us the privilege to share in ministry. I'm going to begin by introducing Josabed. Brother Josabed, you come on up this way and stand with me. Josabed Luna. Again, the Spanish-speaking congregation that we worship with and have a relationship with has been probably close to 15 years now, a long time. It started with Benny Gonzalez. Benny was married to Rachel Gonzalez. Rachel Gonzalez was Bob Cavin's secretary at the Baptist General Convention of Texas. Okay, so his secretary, Rachel, and her husband started a church, Spanish-speaking church, many years ago, and they needed a place to worship. So we said, you come on and worship with us. At that time, they were a mission, and they were sharing in our facilities. And after a short period of years, Brother Benjamin went on to another congregation here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He's an associate pastor of one of the largest, now he's an associate pastor of one of the largest Spanish-speaking congregations in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. They just purchased the old Cassaview Baptist Church. They run 500 to 600 in that community now, and so that work is going on. And at that time, we had a member that was also Mike Gonzalez, no relationship to Benny, but Mike was a member of our church. He was the Hispanic consultant at the Baptist General Convention of Texas. He served as interim for that congregation for a while until Brother Josabed came. And how long have you been with us now?
12 years.
12 years. And amen. Praise the Lord. Let me say as well, they've just enlarged their family. They've got a little one as of what, a couple of weeks ago now?
3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago. And that's number four?
The fourth.
And still counting, or we don't know yet?
Hopefully the last one.
Hopefully the last one. So, and then several years ago, we changed our relationship with them from having them as a mission church to being just a worshiping congregation of the Mimosa Lane Baptist Church family in Spanish. And our relationship with Josabed has been a blessing to us as a staff. We share together in ministry. We do a lot of things together, even as our congregation. We've gone and done backyard Bible clubs together. They share with us many times when we have on-campus ministries, and they have as a part of them, they share at when we have registration tables for fall festival, and we give out tickets, and people come up that don't have English as a second language yet, and they share in that translation. And we also just joined with them recently. They took shoes to a community in Mexico, and we shared with them. And how many dozens of pairs of shoes?
Actually, we're like 120.
120 pairs of shoes to Mexico, and trying to start a church in that village. Yeah. Is that still a plan?
Yeah.
So our relationship has deepened us and pulled us deeper into the life and ministry of their families. And again, as I mentioned, Benjamin and Perla getting married to Andrew is a part of our church. And Josebed, we love you, and you know that already. We praise God for you and look forward to what more God's going to do with us together. All right? God bless you. You have a seat here this morning. The next ministry, I'm going to have Brother James over here. I'm just going to have him stand up and go ahead and stand up and be right down there. Because if I called him up here, then she would have to sign for him over here, and then that'd be complicated. So anyway, James and Jenny Patton, if you don't know, James is married to the young lady that's doing the signing. And so they joined the Life Our Church about 10 years ago. I'm not sure what you said, but... we got a young lady. But they came to the Life Our Church, and James has always had a heart of a ministry to deaf people because he is a part of that community, and his wife shares in that, and they have six lovely children. Most of them are all grown and on their way out and scattered, and they came into the Life Our Church, and the first Sunday they came, of course, we had no deaf people in our church at that time, and she came up to me the very first Sunday and said, "My husband is deaf. Would you mind if I signed for him during your message?" And I said, "No, you go right ahead." And she marched right down the front and got her a place and just began to sign. And they've been here 10 years, you know. So we praise the Lord for their ministry. Yeah. This is how you clap for the deaf, all right? This is how you clap for the deaf. There you go. And so they meet with us every other week, and then James shares with them in Bible study and worship, and he preaches and teaches as well. We need to continue to pray for them. They had a daughter and son-in-law that used to be a member of our church that got called to Alaska, of all places, and their daughter as well is a signing person, and she's also working on her doctorate. So there's a strong possibility that the Lord may be calling them to mission work in Alaska to join their family there. So we need to be praying for them about whatever God's doing with them in that ministry, and excited about that. And James and Jenny, we love you, praise God for you, and thank the Lord for our shared ministry. Again, let me remind you as well that we've seen people baptized out of these groups. James has baptized a couple of deaf in our church, and we're excited about what God's doing, and praise the Lord. Thank you so very, very much. Then number next would be, if I got my chronology right, John Graham. John, you come back on up here. Come on up here, John. John, it's kind of a funny story about John. John came and visited me. We'd had no relationship with him at all. He came to my office one day, and that's not unusual for people just to drop in for various things. He came in to share about the ministry that the Lord had placed on his heart, the tribal ministry in India. And he came, and I gave him about an hour, as I recall. We sat down together, and he told his story, and I listened attentively. And I can tell you, I've done that many, many times before, honestly. And you try to be gracious and attentive, and God bless you, and whatever. And after sharing together, I said, "John, I am promising you absolutely nothing." I didn't encourage him in the least. I said, "I encourage you in what God's placed on your heart, and I thank God for his calling. God bless you, whatever that means." So I don't know whether I told him then or later on. He came back, or even then I said, "You're very welcome to visit our church. We'd love to. You can walk alongside of us and all that." But I said, "Let me tell you something. If you come to the life of our church, don't take that as some kind of sneaky little back doorway that I'm promising you to. I said, that means nothing. I can't promise you one squat. I can't speak on behalf of my people. I'm not even telling you what God's doing. I just know we'll love you and we'll pray for you. And I had no idea what I was getting myself into when I said all that. I had no idea. And God doesn't tell you, by the way. He does not tell you. I always said God's the only one that knows, and he's not telling. John came on into the life of our church and just joined and just got a part of us and attended, became part of a men's group and brought his family to Rachel, and she's a nurse at Veterans Hospital. She was supposed to get off at 1 o'clock, but since she's a head nurse, somebody didn't show up, so she's working long hours. And Rachel and his son Ben, that's been a part of our church, worked on the tech team for a while, is off working on his master's degree in clinical psychology. In other words, I'm saying they got into our lives and we got into their lives. And as a result of that, God opened doors of partnership and ministry. And as you know, for all of you who've been here, John and I just got back from our second trip to India about 2 weeks ago. And we're almost back to normal, whatever normal is. But John, if you'll notice some information on the screen here, the Indian tribal supports 26 full-time pastors, 2 full-time school teachers, 2 teachers' aides, 4 full-time orphanage, foster parents, 34 orphans, 8 college students, along with 34 churches and prayer cells, 32 children's kids clubs and weekly literacy clubs. And I think that's programs. There may be something else. I don't know. I think that's children's clubs. And again, let me tell you, it is a powerful, powerful work. And so I've described John this way. I said, John is a strong personality. He is a strong personality. If you've ever seen him preach in his country, listen, just hang on to the pew, or in that case, the floor. But anyway, but let me tell you, he could not be doing the work that he's doing if he was not the person that God made him to be. You know, I kind of think that's exactly right. He has an Apostle Paul spirit, that courageous, bold, you go get him, trust God, hang on, and here we go kind of spirit. And we are thrilled to be sharing, walking alongside John in his ministry. And we have no idea what the future holds, but we know that God holds the future. And John, we love you and thank God for you. Won't you have a seat? And then Brother Koshy, you come on up here. Brother Koshy is, that's right, you come on up. Brother Koshy again, and I say to you, because, and this is how God works. He brought John first, see. He brings John in. John gets kind of into our hearts and lives. We begin to walk alongside him in ministry. And then God opens the door for a group of Indians to come in that wanted to begin a work and begin a service or Bible study in Malayalam. And it began with Pastor Matthew. Pastor Matthew is not with us today. His wife was in the group that sang just a few moments ago. But Pastor Matthew, a young man that started this particular work, had to go back to India because his father was not in good health. He left last Sunday. We prayed for him Sunday morning. I did, before he had to leave to go on back to India. Otherwise, he would have been here today. But Pastor Koshy has been holding the reins of the ministry on and off many times, sometimes months at a time, while Pastor Matthew could not be here until even recently, where he got all his immigration stuff worked out so he could be here more than just a short term. But we praise the Lord. They have worship and they have Bible study. They share a department time with one of our senior adult groups, and the God's blessed that, and we are excited about what God's going to do through our relationship together. And again, folks, you say, well, how do you work all this out? This is how we do that. That's God's problem. See, that's how that works. We're just going to walk together and love together and pray together and trust together and see what God's going to do. And we know, and they've done numbers analysis to determine how many Indians or maybe even Malayalam-speaking people in the community. And there are pockets of them, as you would know. And we're simply trying to provide an opportunity to take the gospel to them as a part of our fellowship as well. Brother Koshy, thank you very much. You have a seat this morning. I think number next is Brother Moises, I believe. It's either that or Filipino. We'll go either way. Brother Moises, you come on up here. I know our time is short. Brother Moises, I tell you, you know, he was a pastor in Brazil for many years. He started a church, pastored it for 16. Is that about right? Had a pretty good-sized church. Several staff members worked there full-time. Felt God calling him to come back and complete or continue his education. And so with the support of his congregation in Brazil, he came, brought his family, and attended Dallas Theological Seminary. And so, did somebody cough over there? No, John. And so Moises came, and because we are a local church in proximity somewhat to East Dallas and Dallas Seminary, it's not unusual occasionally to have some Dallas students. And so they came and became a part of the life of our church while he was going through seminary. And then he graduated, he completed his education with the plans that he was going to go back to his a congregation and complete that, because all as well they had been supporting him during that time. But the Lord changed his heart. God changed the direction of his life and ministry, and that was a scary, fearful thing. And God's called him to use now his experience as a pastor, as a church starter with a formal education, theological education, now to be an evangelist as well as a developer. You'll notice some of the ministries that he's going to be about: leadership training worldwide in people's own language for an effective ministry, providing training and curriculum in the student's language with biblical integrity, cultural relevance, and academic excellence, and then church strengthening by equipping national leaders to serve as pastors, missionaries, and leaders of their local churches. And then next, and yeah, all this is in Portuguese, mobilizing Brazilian churches to send missionaries, especially to the Portuguese-speaking countries, which include Portugal, Angola, Mozambique, and many other places as well. So God is using him and his gifts. A lot of times he writes curriculum, and it's provided on the internet. There's times when they, as you know, he's been back to Brazil along with Bob Cavan, our church, and Wesley's been there as well, to go and encourage the work. Bob, I know, has taught two master's level courses at the São Paulo Seminary. And God is using Moises to take the gospel and encourage pastors in Portuguese-speaking countries of the world. And we have the privilege of sharing with him as well. Also, he has started a Bible study in Portuguese in our community, okay? And they meet off campus most of the time. Occasionally they may meet on campus in our church. But that's another doorway of taking locally to a group that may have begun somewhere else but lives here now. And we're excited.
We have 15 to 20 already.
They have 15 to 20 in the Bible study in Portuguese already. Praise the Lord for your ministry and for your family. Amen. You may be seated, Moises. Thank you very much. Again, we've walked through some journey with our family. They had a daughter that was critically ill for an extended period of time, was in children's hospital for months and had chemo treatment and all kinds of things, but she is healthy and going on. We praise the Lord, and God even helped take care of the doctor bill, and we praise the Lord for that as well. So we've walked some things together. And then the Filipino is, I don't know if it's Brother Raleigh or a representative, because his Brother Raleigh is someone, there you are. Come on down here, Brother Raleigh, Pastor Raleigh. Yeah, get us another chair. There you go. Good morning, my brother. Good to see you. Again, let me connect this several ways. First of all, Brother Farley, where'd you go, Farley? You're right back here. Brother Farley, who sang just a few moments ago. Now, how long have y'all been in the life of our church? 14 years. And amen. We praise the Lord. It's been a great journey. Farley's an active part of our worship ministry and has done numerous concerts here on our campus as well as with our choir. And we praise the Lord for his life and ministry. And God brought him in the life of church. And then several years ago, Farley began to kind of stir the pot about saying, hey, why don't you think about going back to go to the Philippines with me sometime? And My response about going on international work back then was, oh, whatever, you know, whatever, God, just whatever, you know. But the Lord began to keep bringing that up, and we even postponed it for a while because that was around 9/11. A lot of insecurity, you know, things occurred. We set it off a year. And then Brother Farley got us connected with, I can't recall his name, that does the libraries. Man, I had it in my head. It'll come back tonight. I'll call you. Anyway, a gentleman from Houston that's from the Philippines that lived here that did lending libraries. And as you know, part of our original work was we collected Christian resources from your bookshelves at home. You've already read them or you weren't going to read them. And so we brought, and I think we eventually set up, was it two different libraries? I believe, is it three different libraries? Over 7,000 volumes of Christian resources we've sent to the Philippines to set up a local, how many? 20,000. Man, I didn't realize how many books y'all had. 20,000 resources to set up in three libraries because many of the Filipino pastors, they do not have the resources to or the education to provide those kinds of things. So it provided some local resources, and they cataloged them, set them up for those pastors. And then we went on that first mission trip, and Brother Farley was there as well. And that was the first time that Brother Wesley went and kind of coordinated that group. And that's when we went to one of the college campuses there. And during that time, we've been to the Philippines three times now. I've been twice. Brother Wesley's led the group three times. And we've seen, to my knowledge, at least over 1,000 people come to faith in Jesus Christ during those efforts in the Philippines. That's exactly right. And then one of Farley's concerts, Brother Raleigh and some of his family, and they had already started a church in our community. They were meeting in a hotel in town trying to reach some of the Philippines in the community. And they approached us after one of the concerts here in our church to say, would we be open to embracing them and walking alongside them in ministry to write and lift up Jesus Christ? Well, God had already provided a relationship. We had already been a part of their country, and I'd been there already on occasion. And so they originally were meeting with us on Sunday evenings here at the church. And they just, as of today, I believe, today, is that right? They're meeting starting today, having worship on Sunday mornings in a part of our facility. Those of you who are from the Filipino fellowship, would y'all stand just for a moment? I haven't done this for everybody. We want to see you just for real quickly, a small group of you this morning. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. And oh, yeah, some over here scattered as well. God bless you. Thank you so very much. We need to be praying for Brother Raleigh's wife. Is she here this morning? Would you stand just for a moment? Can you give us a report on her? How's she doing? What's the latest? I know I put you on the spot, but brother.
We're still praying for her because the doctor needs to check her out for more details what's happening in her body. She's in pain right now, somewhere here, right side and left side. And they had a sonogram like 4 weeks ago, and they found some mass. It's a small
mass. Okay. Yeah.
And they just pray that the Lord will just continue to touch her and heal her.
Amen.
Completely.
Amen. We will be praying for you, and thank you. I know that's been a burden on Raleigh's heart, and he shared that together with us. And folks, this is what God's doing. It's funny, I was with a friend of mine out of the city yesterday, and his brother-in-law asked me about our church, how are y'all doing, and that kind of stuff. And I said, well, we're now trying to minister to various people groups in our community, and I made a list of some of those. And he shook his head, and he goes, and he's just thinking, he's a member of a church in the community where he's from. He said, how do you get leadership for all those people? I didn't answer his question. I said, I didn't get leadership for any of these people. God just raised them up. And here's the thing. We don't know what God's going to do in the future. Do you know in your own life? I don't have a clue about mine. I've given him some suggestions. But I have no... You know the thing about God? He's always God. He ignores me and does what he thinks is, what he knows is best. I don't know what the future holds, but I know there's people outside these walls that need Jesus. And I know the world is here with us. And hear me, I don't care what position you take on immigration or anything else, it's not going back. You can fold your hands, you can whine about it, you can cry, you can woe is me and think about the good old days. They're not coming back. There's some good new days. There's some good great days. And God's calling us to take the gospel to the nations. And this is going to be the invitation. Are we going to join him? That's the question. Are we going to join him? I want y'all to come down. Find you a place somewhere in this congregation. And you can stand in the front. You can get in the aisle there. I want y'all to scatter out. Go find your spot. Wherever you'd like. Find you a spot. All right. First of all, I'd like to ask any of the members of our Mission Development Council, any members of our Mission Development Council, you have the privilege first to go find somebody to stand next to, okay? This Mission Development Council, you see Carl and Rick down here and Wesley back there, they help lead the group and ministry and making decisions, and Cindy making her way, and Miss Holston, I can't think of your first name as I'm having one of those Gilbert moments, but anyway. I've been hanging with him way too long. You know it's bad when you stand together looking at each other going, I assure you it's not contagious. But anyway, again, I'm going to ask some of our folks, whether you may know the person personally, you may not. I'm going to ask some of our folks, let's gather around these folks. Find somebody to gather around, okay? This is the invitation. And then after we pray, we're going to give you a moment to be seated, and then we're going to go into the offering. The invitation is this. If you don't know Jesus today, I encourage you to see me right out these doors at my table. It'll be my privilege to tell you about Jesus. You come to me, and I'll introduce you to him. But it's our prayer. Lord, enable us to join you in taking the gospel to the nations. And we're going to pray for these that God has opened the doors for us to love and walk alongside. And he may call some of them out or add some of them, somebody else to us. That's his business. We're reaching not white people and black people and green people and blue people. We're reaching lost people. Let's pray together. Just in this moment, I want those of you who are gathered around that one, I want you to pray and pray out loud, just as a group, everybody together at the same time, you begin to pray for that one who you're gathered around. Let's hear your voices calling out on God. Heavenly Father, we lift these up. We come to you in the name and blood of Jesus Christ, the only means that we have to come to your holiness, to cover our sinfulness, is through Jesus our Savior. Thank you for calling these out, to share with us in ministry, to walk alongside them and us, to know how to lift up Jesus Christ to all these language groups and then others as well, Father, to reach people who are lost, that need Jesus. Enlarge our heart, God. Give us new eyes to see our community differently, not by these false human barriers, but by spiritual ones. People that need Jesus surround us everywhere. God, help us to know how to lift you up and live you and love people in Jesus' name. We pray that you'd bless these ministries, enlarge them, God. Provide the leadership and the vision and the resources and the strength and the help to help them to know how to connect with maybe their language group or their culture. But God, help us to reach across every culture. Because God, in heaven, there's only going to be one culture, and that's going to be defined by the holiness of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do that. And teach us, God, enlarge our hearts. God, teach us to know how to do that, Father. We praise you. We love you today, God. Help us to take the gospel to infinity and beyond, locally, here in our neighborhoods, across our streets, and across this world. Lord, I pray for Pastor Raleigh's wife. I pray in Jesus' name that you would heal her. Remove that growth, that mass, if it's cancer, if it's benign, whatever it is. I pray in Jesus' name, if it would please you, that you would heal her and shock the doctors when she goes for the next test. Lord, I ask you to do that, Father. But we're going to trust you to give strength and wisdom and health and hope and encourage them, God. We praise you, Father. First of all, because of your grace for us. We love you, God. Thank you for loving us first and most in Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen.